Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me, Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up over there this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z Man with three. So, Big Jack, it's Wednesday. My Chicago Cubs are up in Milwaukee, and afternoon game. I had some meetings, so I missed the opening of the game. But all I saw was, 7 runs in the first inning. I'm like, all right, sweet.
Yes.
So I turn the game on. I'm finally done with my meetings. I turn it on, and Willy Adames hits a grand slam off of Nance to make it 14-7. So as I watched the game, Big Jack, aside from the Cubs getting their ass kicked and Javi Baez being benched in the sixth inning, I don't know if you noticed this, but on the home jerseys the Brewers are wearing, they have a little ball on there, and I couldn't figure out what it was last night, and I just realized that it's whatever they make beer out of, those leaf things shaped into a baseball. Hops, yeah, there we go. I thought that was pretty creative. But then I'm also wondering what David Ross is thinking, just playing musical basses with all the players. Patrick Wisdom just got his ass kicked. Was that right now or throughout the game sometime?
No.
Trying to make a play at first.
I believe it was the first inning when he threw the ball into the line.
Kind of the takeaway so far. It's just kind of crazy where the hell does Brewers team come from? I mean, Yelich has been back a couple weeks now, so did that kind of help give him that boost? I mean, Woodruff was pretty scary last night, I would say. Well, he just looked kind of scary on the mound. Where's the surge coming from?
Well, what helped is the Rockies came to town, and like we talked about yesterday, the Rockies can't beat anybody on the road. So they swept the Rockies. This will be a sweep of the Cubs in another embarrassing fashion. Don't forget that they lost game one of this series 14-4. So I'm wondering if we'll get to see a position player pitch, because I believe Eric Stogard pitched in game one. And it's humorous that you brought this up, because I actually wanted to start here. And the question I wanted to ask you right off the bat is it time to just DFA, as in designate for assignment, Jake Arrieta? Because let's face it, counting this start in like 6 or 7 of his last 8 starts, he's just flat out sucked.
I mean, I'm right there with you. it's kind of funny because he had a couple of starts where you're like, oh, my God, is this the Jake Arrieta that won the Cy Young? And then, it kind of answers my question that I asked you a couple of weeks ago about, he's performing at this level, but what the hell were the Phillies thinking? Just letting him walk, so... I don't think that's a question anymore that either one of us has to answer. But, yeah, I mean, at what point do you continue to ride this, oh, look at it, we had former World Series, you know, Cubbies on this team. You know, I have a Facebook friend, my brother-in-law's brother. Would I call him my brother-in-law too, Big Jack? I don't know how that works, but
no.
You know, he was all last night on the Schwarber train. You know, why did the Cubs get rid of him? You know, essentially saying like, let's bring him back. And I mean, you and I have had the discussion so many times. I think he's just better off in Washington or anywhere else because they didn't have the faith in him here in Chicago. And I think that's one of the biggest issues is this multi-position player type deal. I think it's good to have a couple of those guys on your team, be it like David Bote, and, you know, maybe give you another one. But I'm still a firm believer, and I don't care what you say. Call me old-fashioned or whatever the hell you want to call me. But I still think guys perform the best when they're in consistently in the same position every day. You know, how much did Javi's career take off when he landed the full-time role at shortstop? That was a huge difference in his game all around. But the rest of the players, you know, with the exception of Anthony Rizzo, pretty much play everywhere. And I just don't think this thing is working out. It's working out because nobody in the Central can win, right?
Yeah, they're all bad teams. So,
but what happened, you know, okay, I mean, Brian's pretty much out of the infield now. So if you're going to keep him in the outfield, just keep him in the outfield. But that, you know, that's just the way I see it now. I mean,
you know, there are guys who have had success being able to bounce around. I mean, obviously Ben Zobrist, you know, your guy Kiki Hernandez. You know, you can find those guys who have done fantastic. And even like Chris Bryant is doing a great job this year. I know he's struggled a little bit lately, you know, with the moves he's making, because I believe he's played all three outfield positions, first and third. So, you know, to do that kind of stuff and still be able to hit is very unique. But, you know, the Kyle Schwarber thing is plain and simple to answer, Dan, and all you had to do was watch his very first at-bat in the game last night against Tampa Bay. He led off for the Nationals. I believe it was the bottom of the first. I believe they were the home team against Rich Hill. Well, why is that significant? Because Rich Hill is a left-handed pitcher, and that never happened when he was in a Cubs uniform. And what happened in that at-bat, Dan? He hit the very first pitch he saw into the upper deck in right field for his 25th home run of the season, because he's getting the bats against left-handed pitching and he's getting used to seeing them.
Yeah.
The Cubs bailed on him and wouldn't use him against that. He's going somewhere where he's allowed to play. And, you know, kind of along the lines you were thinking, he's going to have success now. He's going to be the player the Cubs thought he was going to be, and they blew it to nobody's surprise at all. So.
I just, you know, I don't understand how, you know, that you just can't see past your nose. You can't recognize the fact that this game is 100 years old or whatever it is. But, you know, what has really worked for this game has been fairly consistent since, what would you say, the 50s, maybe even prior to that, the Babe Ruth days. You know, coming into the future, there's a simple model, and you put the guy out there every day. If a guy can't perform, you know, if he doesn't know, it's always 90% mental, 10% physical. If you show up to work every day and don't know what the hell you're doing, you're going to be on edge a little bit more, I would think, and curious. You know, not, you know, Chris Bryant aside, he's playing. But when you're Kyle Schwarber, you know, you get back to the hotel room, you're on the road, or you're at home, you get back to wherever you live. And, you know, I don't know what these guys live. I don't know how much, if they turn it off completely. But, you know, I would still think as a young player, he's going on and checking who, you know, or he already knows who the pitcher is tomorrow. So, you know, in Chicago, Kyle Schwarber drives home knowing that, you know, Rich Hill's pitching tomorrow. So what the hell am I going to do tomorrow? You know, just sit there and spit sunflower seeds for 3 hours? You know, it kind of puts that negative attitude in your head. So it's just, you know, I knew that part about it. But the whole, me getting on with the whole multi-position player, like you said, there's been a couple of guys. And again, going back to power hitting, you don't have 1 through 8 all hitting 40 home runs, nor can you have 1 through 8 that all play every single position.
Well, here's the other thing I want to, you know, kind of get you to cover here. When the Cubs allowed Kyle Schwarber to play, you know, in 2019 he played 155 games and he did hit 38 bombs. Well, of course, he only hit 250, but he's never going to be a high average hitter. You know, for some reason they lost confidence in him last season. Do you think the fact that he didn't even have a full season of minor league baseball under his belt. He played in 158 minor league games, and only 17 of them were at the AAA level. Do you think it's the process that he just didn't see enough left-handed pitching coming through the system, and it just kind of caught up with him? Due to the Cubs' lack of not being able to develop any, pretty much anybody, and don't even make me get Ian Happ's stats before you try to make me talk about that.
I think that's a big portion of it. I mean, you know, you can't sit there and tell me that a guy should be rushed to the league just because you drafted him and you think he's ready. I mean, it made no sense to me that Chris Bryant, Kyle Schwarber is in the major league, and we're all sitting around wondering if he's going to catch or not. Every day, you're wondering every day, you know, until Dexter Fowler took him out, because he is just a horrible general in the center, in the outfield. He should be the leader, not the guy who's never played before. But that's neither here nor there. But, you know, we waited, and I'm sorry, but it should have been established. I mean, you and I both knew AAA. What did Kyle Schwarber do? Or AAA? We were a single A. We went to single A ball. We're watching two National League teams, the Cubs and the Cardinals, minor league teams. And you and I, you looked at me, and you're like, wait, he's not catching. What is he? What position is he playing? And we had to look, and we're like, wait, he's DHing. Why are we having DH? This is National League teams. You know, so you have a young man who doesn't know what the hell position he's playing. He comes up here, you know, gets killed by Dexter Fowler, comes back, helps win a World Series. So now he has probably the ultimate pressure on his shoulders. And, you know, I think that kind of, I think it got to him more than anything, or I could see if it did. And then you put in the fact that, you know, now that the speculation's over, you're stuck in left field and you didn't really play or had time in the minors to really learn how to play there. And then now you're not doing so well against left-handed pitchers. So now, you know, now you only play half the games if you're lucky. And, you know, your mental capacity is diminishing. And not only that, you have an agent who's worried too, and I don't know what their discussions are like, but, you know, your dollar value is just dropping dramatically. And then he has to wonder, when the Cubs release him, am I going to get a job? You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it just all around, Theo made all the wrong decisions with him. And unfortunately, he will never come back and admit all that. You know, he shouldn't have been in the majors, I don't think, that second year. I think you should have had more time.
You know, and the oddest thing to me is the fact that, you know, was he bad last year? Yeah, he was really bad last year. But why do you give up on a kid who's so young after one bad year, you know. I mean, and then to make it worse, you don't get anything for him. And again, you know, yeah, like you mentioned, he wasn't the only guy who had a bad year last year. You know, if you remember, Christian Yelich, who is a former MVP, barely hit over 200. So you can't hold anything about last year against any of these guys. And you just wonder if this was another case of, you know, old man Ricketts being cheap and not allowing the Cubs to sign Schwarber, because he did get $2 million more than Jock Peterson. And, you know, you look at it now and you wonder if they just kind of bit off their nose despite their face, because they're in a very winnable, bad division.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't understand, you know, a lot of the thinking. It was clear that the Yu Darvish trade was a salary dump. You know, I mean, you could just flat out tell that. But, you know, they let John Lester walk and brought in Jake Arrieta, and they paid Arrieta more than what Lester was asking for. Lester was willing to come back on a $5 million deal because he wanted to stay in Chicago. And I believe Arrieta's getting 8 or 10 with an option for next year, and Lester only wanted a one-year deal. So, you know, I mean, they didn't sign any relative free agents. Everybody they went after was cheap. So, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, they have a guy playing first base right now because Wisdom got hurt that I've never heard of. You know, I'm guessing the last name is Gus Hugh, but he's 0-for-3 filling in with 3 strikeouts. So he's off to a fantastic start.
And Sogard's back on the mound right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that doesn't surprise me at all. But, you know, you just kind of wonder, you know, and like going back to Arrieta, I looked at some of his stats. Out of all his starts, he's only went more than 5 innings one time. Do you know what kind of wear and tear that puts on your bullpen? You know, and you wonder why this bullpen is starting to struggle. Well, you know, it's because they're not getting any innings out of their starters. So, you know, oh, here you go, Dan. Taylor Gus Hugh is a catcher. So I'm guessing he was the guy called up when everybody else got hurt. He was hitting a whopping 272 at AAA, or at Iowa. So, yeah, so AAA Iowa.
Yeah, it's AAA.
But, for some reason I looked at it wrong because it said AAE and it confused me for a second, but that's their league. They're in the AAA East League now. But he is a career minor leaguer. Originally drafted by the Pirates in the fourth round of the 2014 draft. So today is his first entry into the major leagues, and obviously it's off to a rough start because he's 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. But yeah, so quite the embarrassment again for the Cubs. Them, how many games back now? I believe it goes to 6 after they finally get finished off. Oh God, no! Milwaukee went past them over the weekend, and now that they're just putting farther in the rearview mirror. Yeah, this will be 6 games. They'll actually be only one game ahead of the Reds, who are in third, and a game and a half ahead of the Cardinals, who have so many injuries, it's not even funny. So, just kind of a, you know, and the weird thing is, like, I know, you know, I get my emails from Stu on this every day. He's very unhappy. And what's funny is the team played so far over their head earlier that now everybody is upset. This is the team I expected to see all year. So, I'm not surprised by this at all. I mean, they're a bad team, and this is what bad teams do.
No, I'm honestly not surprised by it at all either, unfortunately. You know, Jock Peterson's like a flash in the pan, but then, you know, Duffy, who got hurt, I don't know. I just don't see it all completely working out in the end.
No, I believe I picked them for fourth place. It wouldn't have surprised me if they finished in third. So, it's just one of those situations. They're pretty much headed right where I expected them to head. So,
yeah, I think I actually picked them to win the division. Total homer.
So... but, yeah, kind of moving on in other baseball news, Trevor Bauer is under investigation for an alleged assault. Oddly, this was reported by TMZ. The Dodgers did the correct thing and immediately turned it over to Major League Baseball. So we'll see what kind of comes out of this, but apparently the restraining order is 67 pages long, and from what the story says, has some pretty graphic details about what went on in this assault. So we'll have to kind of see how it goes. I know a little bit of it. I saw said Bauer punched her in along with her private area and her rear end, but I haven't seen the whole article because it's on a website that you have to pay to subscribe to, and as much as I'm interested, I'll do that for one article. So we'll just kind of wait and see what the facts come out, and you got to kind of wonder where this goes, or does it lead to a suspension? His agent, Bauer's agent is a gentleman by the name of John, I believe this is Fedoroff, and this is an interesting claim here, Dan. He says that the assault allegations are the result of a pair of consensual rough sexual encounters. So that's an interesting defense. I don't know how it will play out, but that's what he's going with. So good luck to him on that one. I don't know, but, we'll see. But, yeah, you got to figure if Major League Baseball finds anything out here, he's going to get a pretty hefty suspension, right? And, I mean, he's not exactly their favorite after anyways.
Not right now he isn't. What's it going to do to his T-shirt sales?
Yeah. Well, and then more along the lines for, you and I as fans, and especially, people who, are interested in the Dodgers, how does this affect them?
Ooh, I didn't even think of that.
Right now they're in second place behind the Giants, but those top three teams are really tight. Who knows how long it'll take ball to finish their investigation, but just imagine if it's one of these things where they finish it in late September and the suspension comes down and he's not eligible for the postseason.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
But, yeah, and then the other legal thing you've got to help me out with here, and, you know, this was a terrible situation anyways. You know, 2 years ago, Tyler Skaggs, the Los Angeles Angels pitcher, died due to, I'm assuming, I believe they ended up calling it an overdose. You know, and you got to feel just terrible for his family and stuff. But now they filed two negligent lawsuits.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess the thing that I question here, Dan, is while he was provided the drugs, he wasn't forced to take them. So I'm not quite sure, you know, like they're claiming Eric Kay, who was the one who provided the drugs to Skaggs, was the one who caused his death. But again, while Kay provided the drugs, and he does have a pending federal charge for distributing fentanyl, so he's up a creek without a paddle anyways. Let's go that route instead of what I was going to originally say. You know, there's no sign at all that he forced him to take them. Does that make him responsible? You know, I think what confuses me.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, like, essentially the law these days. So, I mean, you know, had you not provided it, yeah, he could have gone somewhere else, but you're the one who provided him with the drug overdose, essentially. So it's, you know, I think it almost falls along the same lines, and I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but it's, you know, it's almost like he's an accomplice to the murder. Or, you know, even when you think about today when a group of five go in to rob somebody, you know, three of them have guns with no bullets, but, you know, for some reason, the craziest one in the crew has the bullets and kills everybody. You didn't, you know, you and I didn't want him to kill everybody. He shot the first person. We ran, you know, and we hit, but we're still ultimately as responsible. So, I mean, I know those are two totally opposite ends of the spectrum, but I think they're similar in that essence. And, you know, especially when it comes to drugs, that's one of the ways they get the drug dealers off the streets.
Yeah, well, you know, like, I can understand your example there. That makes, you know, that makes sense to me. I can see where... You know, because you went in with bad intentions, but he had been supplying Skaggs with drugs for apparently quite a while, and he had never OD'd before.
Yeah,
so,
but...
you know, I think, you know, that's what's just kind of baffling for me is, you know, he didn't say, hey, take all these.
No, he didn't, but he also... while issuing these drugs to him, fully knew what could be the end result.
Yeah, you know, I mean, in a sense, but, you know, it's just such a vague window because, you know, that would be like saying you came to my restaurant and actually accidentally choked on a chicken bone, and it's my fault you died because I fed it to you, even though you knew there were bones in the chicken.
Well, it's no different than, you know, if a DUI driver kills somebody, where's the first place they go? Back to where he was served.
Yeah, but shouldn't that guy know that he's too drunk to get behind the wheel? I mean, isn't that part of their job now?
Which guy? The person?
What would be the bartender?
Yeah, so if you kept serving him, I mean, you knew he was past the limit. You know, it's the same thing as handing out the drugs that killed somebody.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, you know, just for the fact that, you know, you knew this guy was going to drink all those alcoholic beverages because obviously he was drinking them there.
Yeah.
You know, what Kay did was to, you know, supply Skaggs with the the amount of drugs I'm guessing he requested, you know, and he just, you know, unfortunately took too many.
Yeah, and that's the risk you take when you become a drug dealer.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, and I'm not saying the guy doesn't deserve to go to jail or anything like that. I kind of don't understand where, you know, what and where the charges are going to go with it, because I, you know, the government's going to get to him first. So,
well, yeah,
you know, if
depends.
They're looking
so...
for a monetary settlement, they're not going to get that. And he's already going to jail. So why, why drag it up and put the family through that? It just doesn't seem like, you know, it would be worth it to do the family.
Yeah, but if my understanding, the family is putting this together, wanted to pursue this.
Yeah, it is. And that's what's even more baffling to me is the fact that they're willing to go through this. You know, because I wouldn't want to hear the details of my, you know, my son or my husband or brother, you know, his death like that.
Yeah, well, closure is something different that everyone, you know, seeks out differently.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
I guess,
at the end of the day, he's still at fault, you know. He knew full well
yeah,
that
no,
the end
no,
result of prior, you know, what he gives him could kill him. And not only that, you think about a man who's in that situation, who's taking these things, isn't necessarily in the right mind. So, you know, he's not only delivering and providing him with what, you know, what the customer thinks he needs, he's providing him with a life-threatening drug. And he's taking full advantage of them. You know, whether he's just giving it to him, I highly doubt it. But he was profiting off of that, you know, off of his weakness.
Yeah, I you know, I guess. It all seems just kind of odd to me that, you know, and I believe they're going after the Angels also. So they're going to be involved in this as well.
It's pretty much on the same lines Chris Benoit's family did when they filed their lawsuits.
Yeah, how'd that play out? I don't remember. What was the end result there?
I don't remember.
Because I got to assume this will go pretty poorly, won't it? You know, because, you know, my guess is the Angels aren't going to let it go to court. There'll be some kind of monetary settlement before it gets there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll do something, but, you know, what police say, standard operating procedure. I mean, this is what you do.
Yeah.
You know, something the family thought about, they're upset. You know, you hire the lawyer. This is exactly the route that any attorney would go.
Well, you know, and is it weird that it's 2 years down the road that this is finally happening? I mean, in general, these things happen pretty quickly.
Not always. I mean, they, you know, probably needed time to gather the evidence. The attorneys have to review it. If it's on a state level, you know, you've got it, the prosecutors are involved. They've got backlog. I mean, this is California we're talking about, so...
Well, actually, I believe it's Texas, because I believe he died
in Texas.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, but, you know, they're quicker there with their justice. You know, you kill somebody in Texas, they're killing you the next week. So.
Yeah, but the issue comes when you have a federal case involved, too.
Yeah, well, you know, and that was filed literally immediately. You know, once the feds got their stuff together, I mean, they went right after the guy and took care of their business. You know, obviously with a court case, as Dan mentioned, these things do take a while. So I think that's kind of baffling to me as well, is why it ended up, you know, because the feds had the evidence. So it was just kind of like, why is it take, you know, why did it take so long for the family to file? Or maybe, I guess maybe they just had to have a discussion about it and see if this was the route they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, everything takes time. It's just, it, no matter how you look at it, though, it just sucks, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I mean, it was horrible.
You know, and that's another thing. I mean, I think in the end, the family's looking for closure, and the only way you can change any type of law is with a lawsuit like this. So I don't know if there's, you know, not to say that there's a motive, so to speak, but, you know, hopefully an end result is what they might be looking for. You know, and unfortunately,
yeah,
a lot of things, you know, laws get changed or things are changed because they have to go through this, you know, process.
Yeah, no, you know, and again, like I, you know, I mean, if that's what the, you know, the family wants to do, I have, you know, no issue with it. I just thought it was kind of, you know, like I couldn't see myself putting, you know, my family through that if something like this had happened. Is that, you know, to you know, someone in my family? But again, you know, everybody is different, so. But yeah, sorry to get down the legal road on you there. I don't know how that kind of happened. But yeah, just,
well,
just
you
kinda,
know,
kind of working with that.
Legal stuff is actually fun but boring. You know, if I was smarter in the sense that I knew what I wanted to do, you know, I could have pursued law school.
Yes. See, there you go. If I was smarter and knew what I wanted to do, I would have never been able to become a professional wrestler. I mean, oh.
Yeah. I left that part out. I didn't know where you wanted to go, if you wanted to go there with that one. But, yeah, and Big Jack, you never know. You might find some young 20-something and, you know, pop something out. But for me, you know, I've had friends and family ask, oh, is he going to watch wrestling? Hell no. You know, he could amateur wrestle in high school, but I'm keeping him away from pro. No.
Yeah, I would have, you know, especially with the way the product is today, I would have zero interest in allowing or even telling anybody I know to watch wrestling. You know, I get asked the question all the time at work about, you know, oh, did you see this or did you see that? And, you know, the answer is always no. I try to read reviews or recaps and stuff to kind of keep up with what's going on. But there's just no interest for me anymore because it's not wrestling. It's acrobatics. It's gymnastics and just a lot of the stuff they do makes so little sense that it's just goofy to me.
Well, doesn't it make it hard, Big Jack? I mean, if I turn it on now, I'm watching the same guys on TV that we saw 20 years ago. I mean, it was one thing when Hulk Hogan would come back and... No, I know, but, you know, it's just, it gets kind of old. It's like, you know, bring in some new talent. What? Then again, I guess they brought in a lot of the new talent, but I don't know, there's just nothing that grabs me anymore.
Well, you know, the one thing you got to remember, especially when it comes to WWE, is they have an old man running it. So what he always goes upon is by who's going to draw. So he brings all this old talent back because he remembers the good old days when they were drawing and selling out venue after venue after venue and, you know, doing great rates on pay-per-view. You know, and that's part of the problem with the product now is you get a young, hot guy who comes up and they don't know what to do with them. So, you know, like you'll see them on their NXT brand, which is handled very well. I've seen some of their shows. and they do a really nice job with developing their characters and helping them get over with fans. But then they bring them to the next step, be it Raw or SmackDown, and it's an embarrassment what they do with these guys, and none of them succeed. So, you know, and then again, you know, not only is it an old man who runs it, but they have old men who book it.
Yeah.
They did just have an interesting thing. Apparently they released a writer, a female writer, who actually said that they told her she didn't have to know anything about wrestling to get the job.
Oh, she said that.
So that will. She said that in an interview after she was released. So, you know, it was just kind of like, yes, I really wish I could remember her name and go into a little more detail. But, you know, I'm sure you can find it out there when you, you know, you go through whatever. So, yeah, but I thought that was pretty interesting. So.
Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know. You know, the one time I turned it on and they had this one heel who had his own technical talk show where it was basically like a kid's show. And, I mean, I get it. It's
yeah.
SmackDown and it's a little bit more kid-friendly. But, I mean, what they were doing was just horrible. You know, it was so horrible that my 4-year-old was like, what are we watching?
Yeah, it, you know, and then that was one of the things that they were doing that was really over. But now, like, that character has pretty much disappeared. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, well, it was over and now it's gone. And they did eventually end up lighting that character on fire. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I mean, it was the worst thing I'd ever seen. I mean, it would have been funny if it was like a 2-minute, you know, 90-second thing, but it was a whole segment of crap.
Yeah, you know, it just depends, you know, how you feel, because like I said, that was one of the most over things they were doing was that Firefly Funhouse, I think they called it.
Yeah, Firefly crap is what I called it, but...
So, yeah, you know, and, you know, like I know, you know, just kind of how, you know, how it goes now. You know, and I mean, I think we're both to the point where we're, you know, we're not their target audience anymore.
Oh, no.
So, you know, that's just kind of, you know, kind of, sadly, kind of how it goes. You get to the point where you're not that guy, so, and they're looking to move on. But here you go, Dan, a little more sports-related story here. Chip Ganassi, who is a NASCAR team owner, has actually sold his team. He has a two-car team, and I'm trying to remember who it is. I wanted to say it was Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano are his drivers, and I'm trying to remember if that is correct. But he has sold his team to Justin Marks, who is the owner of Trackhouse Racing. This will all take place for the 2022 season. You know, Ganassi has been a NASCAR mainstay for a very long time. So it's quite interesting to see who it is, and I did botch that actually. His drivers are Kurt Busch and Ross, or no, yeah, Daniel Suarez and somebody else. They're saying that Kurt Busch and Ross Chastain are candidates to fill a role with the team, and now I'm going to have to look up who his drivers are because it's bothering me. So yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting that they're making a change like this. So, unfortunately, it doesn't say how much he paid for it, because what's a NASCAR team go for, Dan? You know, what would you pay for the team?
Billions? I don't know. I wouldn't even have enough money to pay.
You know, it's quite interesting. But Marx was a former Xfinity driver. He used to drive the 22 car. I don't believe he's ever driven at the top level, but maybe he will. And Ganassi has the number one car, which is driven by Kurt Busch, and the number 42 car, which is driven by Ross Chastain. That's this season. You got to figure, depending on contract situations, Marx is going to want to bring in his own people. So, you know, we'll see how that goes or how it rolls along. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that he's, you know, Ganassi is gonna step away at this point. But like, you know, like he was quoted in the article, Dan. I thought this was pretty interesting. He made me a great offer that required my attention. So, you know, and Ganassi will still be involved in racing, just not the NASCAR side. He's got an IndyCar team. He also has an IMSA car team, and then he also does Formula E. So, you know, we're not losing any. You know, he's not. You know, he'll again. You know, not losing anything to racing, just kind of moving on. And now, did you happen to catch any of the back-to-back races at Pocono this weekend?
No, unfortunately, I missed it. Did you?
You know, I did miss the Saturday one. I was watching baseball, and I kind of forgot about it, even though I believe you and I talked about it. I did catch the highlights, and it looked like Kyle Larson was going to win another race. I mean, he was dominant. And then he got a flat tire. I don't remember if it was on the last lap, but with very few laps left, and Alex Bowman won. And then Sunday, it really ended up being a fuel mileage race. Guys were running out of gas pretty close to the end, and Kyle Busch picked up the win there. I want to say it was his second win of the year. So, yeah, we're finally getting some repeat winners. For a while, it seemed like every week we had somebody new win the NASCAR race. But yeah, we got a couple repeat guys there now. You know, Kyle Larson had been dominant, so that was a big deal there. And I want to look and see, do they have a? Oh, no, they don't even get a week off. They are racing. Actually, they're going to go Sunday, July 4th, so they're actually going to go on the holiday. They are at Road America, so that's another, another road course. It won't be an oval. So that'll be interesting. And, you know, sometimes you get odd results there because there are guys who are much better road racers than they are, you know, on the oval tracks. So well, maybe you can check that out before you go watch fireworks.
Wow, they're racing on the 4th.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that, but I guess, you know, it's early enough to where it should be a big deal,
oh,
right?
Okay. Yeah,
you know,
no,
it's a 1:30 start, so that shouldn't be any, you know, too much of an issue. So.
And, you know, for everyone else that knows, I'm sure a lot of those people go and know that they have Monday off.
Yeah.
You still don't know, do you?
No, I still do not know, so thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. I have no clue. I have not been told if I am working Monday or if I am actually going to get off. So, But I do see here, Dan, you know, I know you like to gamble on NASCAR. That's one of your vices. And, you know, I'm not sure how big of a wager you want to make, but your guy Bubba Wallace is a 300-to-1 favorite to win on. So that means if you could just put just $10 down on it, Dan, you're looking at bringing back $3,000.
That would be nice.
So, maybe that's something you get by the wife. I'm sure I could see her, you know, allowing you $10 to spend on something like that. So maybe you could, check that out. You know, if you are interested in more of the favorite, if you are interested in more of the favorite, Chase Elliott is the favorite. He's actually a 23-to-10 favorite. Kyle Larson is right there at 14-to-5. Martin Truex is 13-to-2. You can get Kyle Busch at 8-to-1, and then just kind of rounding it out, you can get Joey Logano at 10-to-1. So, depending on how you want to spend your money, you can find some ways to make it in NASCAR. And I did want to tell you while we brought this up, I don't know if you have noticed this yet, Dan, but FanDuel does have the free home run derby back if you want to go over and play today. I was going to send you the link, and for some reason I didn't get it after I put my lineup in. So you still have time to get
over
to put your hitters in if you would like to give that a shot.
Yeah, I'll have to give that a quick look as soon as we get off.
So, you can definitely check that out. Yeah. Now, did you win early in the season? I know I remember I told you I won like $9, but did you ever manage to get a win? Didn't you win somewhere down the road, like way before me?
No, this year I didn't win anything.
Oh.
I kept, if I did get the day where, someone hit home runs, I would have what I thought was going to be the top, and then, everyone hit two more like that night or something, play something stupid, or I just placed out.
Because, I had that one, really, really lucky day where I did, like I said, I managed to pick up $9. So, that was huge for me. I think many years ago when we first started doing it, I won $25 one time. But of course, my luck was actually fairly decent this year. And it's odd that I had lost interest because I was generally at least getting my money back. And in some cases, I would double it, which means I would bet a nickel and win a dime. But hey, I'm still doubling my money, right? For whatever reason, I don't know why, I just really lost interest in it. And I haven't played in the longest time, and I just happened to check today just out of the blue, and I saw, this is back. So, of course, I did that because it's free. I'll always play the free games when I see them. Hopefully it works out for me. But yeah, now you had two winners this week in fantasy, didn't you?
Give me a couple seconds.
Oh, well, we don't have much time left, so. But we shall see if Dan makes it back before the podcast actually ends. I'm trying to remember who I picked in FanDuel for the home run derby so you could stay away from them, but I don't remember who they were. So just one of those things. It's probably better that I don't remember who they were because generally my guys don't do very well. But, yeah, I would at least like to tip you off and let you know that, who those guys were so you could stay away from them. But, yeah, I'm going to – Oh, okay.
Yeah, I Well, I had to run into Walgreens real quick, and of course, I got stuck behind two people that don't know how to use a credit card machine. Don't ask me. I'm not the idiot. Did you happen to take a look at my teams, what they won? Because it was a pretty good week.
I know you sent them to me. You always tweet me with your stuff, but I never remember.
Usually when
obviously
I win.
I can look here really quick. See, you are the Bleacher. You're not the Bleacher Bones. Are you the Bleacher Bones in this league, or what name did you go with here?
Bleacher Bummer, I think.
Bleacher Bummer. Yeah, they have you as 8-8-7 last week. You are currently in seventh place. I was 10-5-8, which was actually very disappointing because I was going against a dead team. But I am hanging on in fourth place. Hudson Long was in the auction league, correct?
Yeah, that's the auction league.
Yeah. So, and then in our other league, which is called a summer again, which is the Snake League, let me see if I can find you here. Here you go, Pork Chop Express. You were 15-9-6. You were still one spot out of the playoffs. You were 9. You're in the 9th spot. I was 11-16-3, and I am number 8 directly in front of you.
Ooh, I got to knock you out. Well, you know, I went from, I think I was in like 15th place a couple weeks ago. So...
So yeah, that was definitely a, you know, I played one of the teams that was ahead of me, so that was a part of the issue there. But yeah, I just for some reason the team just has these holes that stop hitting. And then in the league, of course, that I don't really want to talk about, but I will bring this up for you. You are currently in second place in the home run league. You are 98 points behind the leader. I am in 11th, 432 points behind the leader. So there you go.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know. I didn't expect to be up in the top the whole time. It does piss me off, this guy in front of me, though. It's 100 points. That's like a lot of home runs.
Yes,
well, he must have.
Not hitting
you
that.
Know, the thing that. Yeah, well, the thing that kills me, too, is, you know, I'd be winning if we did the Grand Slam Challenge. So.
Yeah, no, well, you know, he has a pretty interesting team.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say he has, like, one big bomber, but
no, he doesn't.
He's got a lot of really good home run hitters. So, you know, and he does have 16 out of Brandon Lowe already and 18 out of Sal Perez. I don't think anybody was expecting those guys to be up there. But, they're rolling along. So he's getting production out of from. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, well, the music is over. I'm going to get a lot of things on. Remember, we're not here to take a few. Conference 200 back at 5 o'clock on Friday if you want to swing by and sit here. Of course, while we're going to know what to do, sportstimeradio.com, head on over to LinkedIn at the new blog and link up this morning. The link will take you to the Facebook page, so get on over there and give that a like. But don't forget to tweet it to the news at sportstimeradio. You can also find Daniel on Twitter to see some of the stuff. We're cool with that. And if you were able to stop by and see us live, thank you very much for doing that. We really appreciate it. But if you missed the link, you know that. Just hang on over there and